scripture reading today is to be found in the book of Daniel, chapter 4 it's going to be. It is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, who at one stage of his life totally disbelieved in the true and living God. Yes, but God allowed him to pass through a seven-season period of discipline, at the end of which his concept was radically changed, and he now fully supported the truth concerning the character and the nature of the true and living God. From this passage, it becomes very clear that the king had made, or rather had mended his ways of thought. So let us turn to Daniel at this time, chapter 4, it should be, and verses 34 and 35. Daniel chapter 4, 34 and 35. Two verses, but they're fairly long, so here we go. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35 now, Daniel 4. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the scripture reading from Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35. We are going to speak on the subject of the sovereignty of God. Note carefully that the ending portion of that passage, verse 35, affirmed the sovereignty of God. From this and other Bible passages, we will see that God is indeed sovereign, that he has the absolute right to govern and to dispose of those creatures as he pleases. No question asked, no challenges, no objection entertained. God is sovereign. He is free to do what he pleases with anything that is his. And of course, everything belongs to him. The things, these things that you are surrounded with or by, these are not really yours. You cannot hold or keep them forever, because neither you nor they will be able to last forever. Neither you nor these things will last forever in the world's system. There is a huge question that once put a rising business magnate to the test. And that question I want to share with you. Short question from Luke chapter 12 and verse number 20. I'll give you part of the question. The question was asked, quote, then whose shall these things be? Whose shall these things be? You see, God is the owner of everything, and he has the right to dispose of them according to his own good pleasure. He is the sovereign Lord, the owner, the master, the controller, the disposer of everything. Even the things you and I own, or we claim that we own. I believe Job had it right. He declared in the early stages of the game, when he lost everything, he said, "The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God is sovereign. So far as we have studied, we learned that God our Father is omnipotent, that is, able to do all things, all-powerful. He is omnipresent, present everywhere at one and the same time. He is omniscient, knowing all things. And he is holy, that is, absolutely holy and capable of sinning. And then last week, we talked about how God is love. And his love encompasses every single person. His love is all-inclusive. And it would bear repeating John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is all-inclusive. It is enduring. And his love is not restricted only to those who love him, but he loves even the unlovable. But today we'll talk about his sovereignty. His sovereignty sets him apart as the supreme ruler. Psalms 24 and verse number 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." So who owns what around here? Nobody owns anything but God alone. He is sovereign, or we could say, he is the sovereign. He is the king of all people, all property, and all belongings. God owns them all, without exception. God exercises supreme power and authority. David acknowledged this in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11. When he was permitted to gather all the building materials for the temple, but the younger Solomon was identified by God as the one who would build the temple. God the Father showed what authority he possessed as sovereign Lord. He ruled, and his ruling was that David would not be permitted to construct that temple. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and those are exalted. Thine is kingdom, and thou art exalted as head above all." 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11. Yes, thine is the kingdom. Lord God, you are sovereign. God's sovereignty gives him the right to govern as he chooses. Psalms 115 and verse number 3 states, "Our God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. God's sovereignty implies he is absolutely under no restraint or restriction. He is not governed by some higher court or institution. None. He decides freely, and his decision is final. Daniel 4:35. None can stay his hand, and none can say to him, what doest thou? So the God we are serving, he's got great power, extensive power, and he is not subject to elections or revisions or reviews. Whatever he says, whatever he does, however he rules, that is it. And he doesn't have to wait for a 4-year term to come around. Whatever he says goes, and he is in the chair forever. So, God is sovereign. He is the final court of appeal, if I may put it that way. None can stay his hand, and none can question, what doest thou? So this God we serve, in whom we believe, is totally in charge of this universe that he has made. For thou hast created all things, says Revelation 4:11. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. He does and he will do with them whatsoever he pleases. He is sovereign. He is sovereign over his own people and the works, all the works of their hands through the years. And he is sovereign over his own world. Remember, at the same time, that God is holy and God is just. And because he is holy and just, therefore, we cannot expect from him anything that is unjust, unfair, inequitable, and oppressive. He does what he will within the confines of his holy nature and his just character. He cannot do anything that is out of character with his nature. He remains a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will at all times deal justly with those who walk according to his ways. Of course, he will discipline his wayward children, Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth everyone whom he receiveth. We must keep in mind that our sovereign Lord always is well-intentioned towards his loving children. Our sovereign Lord always is well-intentioned towards his loving children. Nothing good would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our sovereign Lord is faithful. He is a faithful provider. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He sees to it that his children are provided for in so many ways. He thinks of us in areas where sometimes we don't even think of ourselves, or we don't have the concept and the imagination and the experience and the knowledge to reach out into those areas. But God thinks for us. In Romans 8:28, we know the scripture that says, and we know that all things them that love the Lord and to those who were called according to his purpose. This sovereign Lord can turn what in ways look like a tragedy into a glorious success. He can make all things work together for the good of those children, his children who love him. And it is not always that we could see the miracle behind the seeming defeat. We cannot always see the miracle behind the present tragedy, but we sometimes are allowed to learn and to understand why. And at other times, we don't learn, we don't understand, but we just say, well, God be praised, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I guarantee you, and the word guarantees you, that someday, those things that we do not understand these days, we will understand them better by and by. We'll have a chance to talk to the Lord, to talk to Jesus, talk things over with him by and by. Let's go on. A sovereign Lord, he doesn't only provide, but he protects his own from the difficulties that may confront them or that they may encounter. He protects his own yesterday and today, and tomorrow he will. In Israel, there was certain celebratory feasts. In fact, there were about 7 of those feasts in 1 year. And every male Jew of a certain age was expected to attend at least 3 in Jerusalem. Now, I was part of the group they were reciting, who were expected to come to Jerusalem was peace. And here minimum could attend all, but 3 were minimum requirements. And here in Exodus chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, the Lord, in the promise Israel, really blessed my soul. He promised Israel that he would allow no man Zion's land while they were attending the peace in Jerusalem. In other words, the Jew feel ease and at rest to leave his property and to attend the feast of the Lord. The property was going to have full protection offered by the sovereign Lord. Check it out. Exodus chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. The Lord would protect their property while they were gone to church. Hallelujah. That sounds nice. Even today, we can be grateful that the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them. Psalms 34 and 7. This sovereign Lord is our protector. Our sovereign Lord also is more than enough to take care of the needs of the children of God all over the world. All of them. He is more than enough. He is powerful, and he is the absolute ruler and controller of all situations. There is nothing that is too hard for him. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20 tells us, our God is able able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. The whole story is for you and me to feel free and go ahead and ask Him and cast our cares upon Him and load Him up with our difficulties. You say, Pastor Mola, I don't want to be a complainer. God must be tired of my complaining. Oh, no. He said, through one of his servants, he said, casting all your cares upon Him. It doesn't say of you. It says, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Our God has the capacity to take care of all the needs of all the people, of all the worlds at one at the same time. And He still has room for more because He's a big God. He's the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God. He is the sovereign Lord. He is King. He says it and it is done. He owns everything and He owns everybody and He owns every system. He has His finger on the beat of every pulse. Thank God for who He is. And thank God that we are serving such a God who will not leave us helpless or defenseless or incapacitated. He will meet our need. So I want to encourage you and to encourage myself to lean harder on this Lord. Remember, we were basing this week's these lessons on the scripture from Philippians, I believe, Philippians 3, that where Paul the Apostle said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. Who among us is not desirous to know God more, to have a closer walk with Him, to become stronger in Him, to have more of His life and substance radiating in our system so that we can be overcomers and so that we can be victorious in our walk and in our service to Him? Beloved, God is a good God, and you and I are blessed that we have Him as our God. There can be no one like Him. There is none other like Him. Hallelujah. God has highly exalted our Jesus and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Beloved sister, brother, that problem you're carrying is not too big for our God. It's big for you, but at the same time, God is not going to give you more than you're able to bear. So it's your size. What is weighing you down, you say? Well, cast that burden back on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Let us unite in prayer, one for another, at this time. Father, we thank You and we praise You because You are the sovereign Lord. You made everything for Your own pleasure. You own everything. We are just enjoying users' rights temporarily. But Lord, eventually everything is in Your final control. So we ask in Jesus' name that You will teach us Your way, O Lord, that You will teach us to rely on You to rely on your strength, to rely on your wisdom, and to rely on your word. We thank you that this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Thank you for each person around this altar tonight, and thank you for meeting their every need. Thank you for the sick you have healed, and thank you for the discouraged you have given life and strength to in these moments. Thank you for the service tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, and amen.